Today on Real Life Radio.
You know why Jesus Christ hasn't come back yet? For this verse right here. His patience, him waiting, is for salvation of others. Now, I wish you would just get saved so we could get out of here and stop goofing around. Come on, you're pulling us down. Make a decision for Christ and let's go.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Before I Let You Go, Part 2, continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. In these final verses, Peter is filled with emotion. His parting words are spoken without compromise, and yet they come from the heart of a shepherd. Peter's unwavering love for the church is an expression of his faith in Jesus Christ. So sharing what lies ahead for the world and what's in store for the true believer in Jesus Christ, it really has become his passion and his focus. Now, Peter's last words before he himself is crucified are written for our benefit, that as followers of Christ, we're to keep our faith alive and our head in the game, really, to live out our own days with an intensity, with a purpose, and to keep growing in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Life here on earth, really, it's not all there is. So on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack reminds us of how simple the gospel really is. Even a child can understand it, but sadly, the older we get, the more our pride gets in the way. We don't want to think of ourselves as sinners in need of salvation. It's not until we humble ourselves and have that childlike faith that we can enter the kingdom of God when we leave this earth. And now in his message called Before I Let You Go, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When I read my Bible, God is always waiting. Right now I'm reading through Jeremiah, just in my own private life, and he's waiting. He's always waiting. Waiting for Israel or Judah to repent and come back to him. Waiting for them to pick up the word of God and apply it to their lives. He tells them, how long are you going to keep me waiting? God waits. God is waiting today for America to be touched by her Christians. I believe at this hour the church is the one in the crosshairs of judgment. What will she do? What will she decide? I don't believe it's lift up to the Supreme Court. It might look like it. I don't think it's lift up to local courts. It may look like it. I don't think it's lift up to attorneys. It may look like it. God moves behind the scenes. It's up to God's people. Amen. And everything in life. But he's waiting. Didn't God wait? Didn't God wait for Noah? God waited patiently. What about Abraham? Abraham made wrong turns, you know. He's out here disobeying God, going down, and God waited. Moses, poor Moses, boy, did God wait. What about us? He's waiting. And what about you? God's waiting for you. It's better to be waiting for God. Number two, we saw, and this is where we left off last time, verses 15 to 16. Peter is saying, before I let you go, you need to know his love. His love, and that means intimacy, verses 15 to 16. He says there, as also our beloved brother Paul, the apostle Paul, according to the wisdom given to him. So Peter is saying that Paul's writings, listen, a lot of millennial believers have been sidelined by false teaching. This is I'm going to say something in a moment that's very popular among young churches. They say that we don't read Paul. Did you know that? Yeah. We love God, we love the Lord, we love Jesus, but we don't read Paul. So what do you do with the rest of the New Testament? Oh, we don't read him. We don't believe that's inspired. Because he says things that we don't like. Oh, okay. Listen, Peter says about Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, who gave it? God gave it. Has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking them of things which are hard to understand. The word means deep things. Paul spoke about deep things in deep ways. But isn't it interesting, church family, that the gospel is so incredibly simple that your four-year-old can get it? Isn't that amazing? Yes. Are you going to tell me today that your seven-year-old can't be saved because they're too young to really know the eschatological or the hermeneutics or the homiletics of biblical interpretation, and they don't really have a grip on expositional constancy or the doctrines or the teachings of the law of first mention and the dispensations broken up into their proper air? Are you kidding me? You ask a seven-year-old, you give them the gospel, and they go, yeah. And then you tell them, you know, do you know that you're a sinner? Oh, yeah. And then you ask them, what makes you a sinner? I stole the cookies last week from my brother. I lied to my dad about who painted the cat. And, oh, yeah, I got it. They get it. The gospel's so simple. It's also so profound that an adult with pride, listen, when the gospel is given, it's not that an adult is immune to the gospel. An adult can get the gospel. It's just harder for us to get the gospel for this one reason. Number one reason, pride. Little kids don't have pride. You ever see little kids say, hey, man, what's up? Can you imagine a five-year-old going, hey, I got this? No, they don't. They're like this. But when we're older, when we're adults, that's why Jesus said you need to become like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say be childish. That's what adults do. And the gospel's given, the five-year-old accepts it, and the 55-year-old says, well, I have a hard time with that. Pride. The sin that threw Satan out of heaven is the sin that destroys men's souls today. Why? Pride will be evident when there's no intimacy with Jesus as a believer. 1 John chapter 2, listen, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, that is the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as taught you, you will abide in him. That's 1 John 2:20 and 1 John 2:27. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, I love this, listen. 1 Corinthians 2:9. This ought to breed intimacy in our lives. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Stop right there. Isn't that a great verse? That's an amazing verse. What do you think that means? Listen. So, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for. It means that we can't know anything about heaven and where we're going. That's what people, listen, there's sermons preached on verse 9 that says, just trust God. Of course, trust God. But we have no idea where we're going. You know what? I'm going to leave that on the screen, guys. I don't think God in anywhere in our lives, nor do we deal with one another, where we are about to be blessed and no one says anything about it. No one gives us any insights about it. Even when it's a secret. And when there's a secret in your life, I say secret, you're about to be surprised. Maybe it's your birthday, your anniversary, a special day. Even people will say, you know what? I know your big day is coming up. We got something awesome planned for you. So what is it? I'm not going to tell you. It just drives you crazy with excitement. It's like, yes. But that only lasts for so long. And then you find out what it is. Listen, again, before you go on a trip, you gotta take a vacation. Do you remember those vacations? We used to do that. You'd go online or you get a brochure and you're looking at the destinations. Oh, look at that. You think that hammock is still there between those two palm trees? Oh, that's so beautiful. Do you know what I'm talking about? You go, look. Guess what? God's done that for us, for heaven, about heaven. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10, what does it say? But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit or the Holy Spirit of God. This is a verse, passage that reveals that to the believer, we can have absolute anticipation and excitement and intimacy awaiting our union with Christ. God wants you to get excited about heaven and where you're going. I want to read you Song of Solomon, chapter 8. And by the way, little background before I read this. You know Song of Solomon, I don't know if you know this or not. Many Jews, if not all Jews, many or all Jews in Israel or in the world, men are not allowed to read Song of Solomon and think until they're 25 or 30 years of age. Because it's pretty racy. But the words have always been understood to be between Solomon and his bride and Solomon. And yet the Bible gives us this statement. Song of Solomon 8, verse 6. Set me as a seal upon your heart. This is her word to him. This is the church's word to Christ. Are you listening, church? Are you with me? As a seal upon your arm for love, by the way, that word means my love for you and your love for me, is as strong as death, jealousy as demanding as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most intense flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all of the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. Have you ever heard that statement? You can't buy love. It comes from that statement right there. You can give all that you have, still not going to have love. But the statement is about not only Solomon and his bride, but it's about Christ and the church. It's about you and God. And the believer cries out and says, set me, Lord, as a seal upon your arm. Do you know Jesus like that? I pray that you know him intimately, that you find yourself almost, you know what? Please don't take this out of context. Almost as though you don't need to go to a prayer meeting. Almost as though you don't need to go stop and pray, because your life's existence is walking in a Christ consciousness of conversation and communing with him. You're just talking. You're praying while you're driving. You're praying while you're walking. You know what I'm saying? Why are you guys so quiet? Are you guys okay? It better not be for any other reason except that you're listening, as she just said a second ago. I hope so. Do you understand his love for you? It's remarkable. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. And by God's grace, maybe today he's drawing you to himself. Ephesians 3, verse 14, begins there by saying, for this reason, says Paul to the church at Ephesus. That was in Turkey, by the way. You can go to Turkey today and go to Ephesus. And this church has been there. When you come to, remember in the book of Acts where the people, Paul was addressing the Ephesians and the people were, the crowd at the amphitheater was so huge. And then remember they began shouting, they tried to shout him down and they said, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great, remember they did that? I think for a space, the Bible says like 2 hours, they were shouting down because the gospel had shaken up Ephesus so much. Ephesus became a tremendous powerhouse of Christianity. For this reason, he said, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I love that. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. This is God's will for you. That you be rooted and grounded in love. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is your Christian life now, if we apply the Word of God in our lives. This is not a dream. It's not something we should achieve. This is now, if you're willing. If what God is allowed to do in your life. And then look at verse 16. Speaks to us about faithfulness. The Bible here says that these who are, frankly, erring, they're in great peril. They're untaught and unstable people. They twist to their own destructions the scriptures. Wow, they're unstable and untaught people. It means because the Word of God is not there, they are unstable. It means that their thoughts about everything is unpredictable. And unstable speaks about their emotions being in charge of their life. They're just a nerve cut loose, we would say. And yet they speak spiritual things, but they wrestle with the scriptures to their own destruction. Powerful. The word twist here means to, listen to this, they twist. People twist the scriptures. The word means to change, to manipulate, to distort, to bend the image, to misrepresent. It means to fashion or create an alternate meaning. Does that sound like the 21st century? Oh my goodness. To bend the meaning. They take the Bible, it means this, that they talk about Jesus, but they bend the Jesus of the Bible. They talk about grace, but they bend the grace. There's a cult made up of beautiful, wonderful people, but they bend the grace of God. They say, yeah, we're all for grace. God's grace will be yours after you have done all that you can regarding your salvation. No, they really, that's what they teach. Oh, we're all about, yes, grace, right on. Grace applies after you have done all of your works to earn his grace, then it comes. You know what? That's from hell. That is a doctrine from Satan. All the right words, listen, all the right words in the wrong arrangement. They wrestle with the scriptures. They bend the meaning of who is Christ, who is Lord. That's why, church, it is so important in our generation to always ask questions. I know that we've all been dumbed down by the way that we've been taught these last 50 years. The biggest way to dumb people down is to remove from them, shame them, actually, when they ask the question, why? You want to drive your professor nuts, and I highly recommend it. Go back to class tomorrow or go online tomorrow, whatever you're doing, and drop a bomb right in class, and here's what it looks like. When they say something, blah, you say, why is that true? When they make a statement, ask, excuse me, why? You want to hear the brakes slam on? By the way, you know this is true because when your five-year-old walks up to you and you say, I need you to do this and this, and then when you're done, I need you to go on over here, and then I want you to put that on because we're going to go do this. And you know what they do? You got the whole plan. An adult, you pay the bills. You feed the kid. You've got a plan. And that little goober, he walks up and says, why? And he stumps you. Because I said so? Right? The question why is so important. Why do you believe what you believe? When somebody says, this is the Jesus I believe in, ask them why. Oh, this is the church that I go to. They teach thus and so, and you've got to be baptized in our water. It's the only one anointed by God. Yeah. And you've got to only hear from our leaders, and you've got to attend our location. And if we approve of you, and the blah, 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 blah. And then when they're all done, say, why? And the brakes slam on. So powerful. I'll give you a thought right now. I'm going to give you a verse. A lot of people have struggled over this because of being taught wrong. I'm not going to say who, but one time a well-known pastor and I had a head-on collision over this verse I'm about to read you. And I said, how in the world can you teach what you just taught when this is who it's addressed to? And he simply said, because this is how I was raised. That's not an answer. I'm going to give you a verse right now that has rocked a lot of Christians' hearts and caused them to be painfully troubled, and it never needed to happen if you're a Christian. Are you ready? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the discussions of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or completion, not laying again the foundation of repentance. We've already dealt with all that. That's behind us. From dead works and of faith toward God. That's already been settled. Verse 2, and of the doctrine of baptisms, that's water and spirit, of laying on of hands, of resurrection from the dead, and of the eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permits. Verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, if they leave the faith, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again themselves the Son of God, and have put him to an open shame. You know, people have read that and said, oh my gosh, I backslid, and now I can't come back to Christ. That's not what that means. Oh, I used to be a Christian and then I messed up, and according to that verse, God won't have me back. That's not what that means. In fact, a big hint is it's written to the who? Hebrews. If you say today, Jesus is Lord, he died on the cross for my sins, and you say the prayer, if you think you're saved because you say the prayer, you're deceived. You might as well go buy a rabbit's foot. But if you pray that prayer understanding, I just put my sin in the hands of Christ and I just received his righteousness, it's called salvation. And with that being settled, I'm moving on with Jesus. Let's grow. Let's get up and grow.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Before I Let You Go, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. Before I Let You Go, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, a series about the Apostle Peter whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, you know, we're excited to announce that Pastor Jack will be hosting another Bible prophecy conference. It's called Behold He Comes, with special guests Jan Markell, Amir Sarfati, and Pastor Barry Stagner. And you are invited to join us through our exclusive live stream pass. The streaming pass gives you special access to watch the conference live on Saturday, September 11th, and it includes 2 hours of additional pre-recorded interviews, teachings, and backstage access with the speakers themselves, and that's just for a $5 purchase. We also have Spanish and Mandarin Chinese translations available. If you'd like more information and to get your streaming pass, simply visit beholdhecomes.org. Now, here's a pretty cool opportunity for pastors and churches who'd like to watch the conference together. If your church is interested in hosting the Behold He Comes Bible Prophecy Conference, or if you'd like to find a church in your area hosting the event, again, you can visit us at beholdhecomes.org. That's beholdhecomes.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.